With me, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 6. Continue on. 2 weeks ago, we were in the first eight verses there, and we talked about, just a quick refresher since we had last week off, if we remember that Cain, in his line, he killed his brother Abel, and his legacy, his lineage, and his family tree was always going to have the stigma, shall I say, that they were a people that purposely excluded God from their lives. They purposely excluded God. They were defiant and deliberately by design kept God out of their lives. We had the first polygamist there. Obviously, the father of that line was the first murderer. And they cared nothing about God. They wanted nothing to do with him. And over here we had basically Abel's replacement, his brother Seth, who loved the Lord. And it said that after he was born and after his son Enos was born, that men started calling on God at that point. That they acknowledged God and they wanted to have a relationship with God. So you got the two lines. One that purposely excludes. In our title of that message 2 weeks was 2 weeks ago was to obey God and include God. Well, you see that our title today has the word obey in it again. Hear God's word and obey it. It isn't enough to hear it. That's the starting point. You got to hear it. But more importantly, you got to obey it. Let's take it up here in verse 8. We'll reread verse 8. And I'm going to read through verse 13 for starters today. Now it came about when men began to... Nope, I'm starting in verse 1. John, verse 8. Okay. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. These are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generations. Noah walked with God. And Noah became the father of three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked on the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their ways upon the earth. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth." Not only was he going to destroy man, he was going to destroy the earth. As we looked verse 3, at the end of verse 3, it says, "His days shall be 120 years. We know that God is very patient. We've talked various times about how he gave Adam and Eve a chance to repent in the garden, and they didn't. He gave, when he was talking to Cain about killing his brother, he gave Cain an opportunity to repent, and Cain didn't. And then we go tell the story from Joshua about Achan. And all the opportunities he had like a day and a half to repent, and he didn't. God's not going to just limit the time here to a day or a week. He's given them 120 years to repent of their sin. And he's going to use his preacher and his shipbuilder here, Noah, to preach during that time that the big boat's being built. That the ark is being built, 120 years. And as we looked in verses 5 through 7, we saw that God, in verse 6, the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. He was grieved in his heart. He was the grieving father. And we talked about the Hebrew word being there. He repented. He wanted to do a 180. That is how sorry he was that he had even created man. Verse 9, these are the records of the generation of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. How did Noah become righteous? How was he seen by God as being righteous? Now, I know obedience is important, and that's even in the title of our sermon today, but was Noah righteous because he was obedient? No. No. Was Noah righteous because he worked hard? Because he because he worked hard on building the boat just like God told him to? Turn with me to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his whole household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He obeyed because of his faith, but obedience didn't save him. The only way that we can be seen righteous in God's eyes is by having faith in Jesus Christ. By having faith in what Jesus Christ did for us. There is nothing that you or I can do for our salvation. There's nothing that you and I can do to be seen by God as righteous. Think of your best day. You know, you're skippity-doo-dah. Everything's great. You're happy with everybody and life is good. Doesn't even come close to what you need. Your best day, your best attitude, your best heart doesn't get you righteousness in the sight of God. The only thing that will let you be seen as righteous by God is faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11, 7, by faith, Noah. Yes, we need faith to be obedient, to do what God tells us to do, but it's the faith that God will see. And it's the faith, not in our works, but it's faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. You see there that it says in verse 9, Noah was a righteous man. He was blameless in his generation. Now, the word righteousness we've talked about talks about a relationship to God. The term blameless here has to do with his relationship this way. It has to do with his relationship with man. And what does it mean by blameless? Turn to Exodus with me, if you would. Exodus chapter 12. And I'll give you a heads up on this one. When we leave here, keep a finger in there or put a piece of paper in there or something, because we're going to come back to it. Exodus 12, 5. Your lamb shall be an unblemished male, a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. When the Hebrew people heard the word blameless, the picture they got in their mind was that sheep or that goat that they were to bring to sacrifice at the temple, to sacrifice for their sins. That was the picture image that they would get. And that's why this talks about Noah's relationship with his fellow man, that he was a man of integrity. He was unblemished. He had a life, lived a life that was above reproach. People couldn't sit and whisper about Noah because there was nothing to whisper about. They could make up lies about him. They poked an awful lot of fun at him when he's building this big boat nowhere near any body of water. And it's taken him and his sons 120 years to build it. Whew. That's a lot of work. 400 feet long. We'll get more into that next week, but on the actual dimensions and the size of the ark. But that was a big boat, people. That was a big boat. They were being obedient, but why they were being obedient to God, they were a testimony to their fellow man. God gave man, as evil and as corrupt as he says they were here, again in verse 12, God looked on the earth, behold, it was corrupt. God gave them 120 years to repent. And they gave him a preacher. Look quickly, if you would, 2 Peter 2:5. Just real quick, I gotta say this. Peter has an introduction, the body, and the conclusion. If you'll look, if you want to write this down and go back later and look, 1 through 11 is the introduction to his writings. Okay, understand that the chapters and verses in the Bible are man-made. They weren't written like that, but we made them so it's easier for us to reference a particular section or sentence. But the first 11 verses of 2 Peter are the introduction. And then if you'll look at the end, chapter 3, verse 14 to 18 is the conclusion. And that in between is the message that Peter wanted to send. If you want to get the, obviously we can't take the time right now to look at it, but this afternoon or this week, sit and read the, you can read the introduction and conclusion too, but read the message, read the central part of what Peter is telling us here. But in chapter 2, verse 5, he says, verse 4, "For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to pits of darkness reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness with seven others, when he, God, brought a flood upon the earth of the ungodly." Now there where it says he preserved Noah, a preacher, the Greek word there literally translated means herald. And it always makes me think of, I don't know, it's got to be one of the old Christmas movies where the little boy's on the paper, or on the corner selling newspapers. He's shouting whatever the headlines was, read it, read all about it. And the one headline that always comes to my mind is Dewey defeats Truman. Any of you remember that headline? Oh, come on, there's some of you that were alive then. You remember? that's if you were alive then, you've got a lot of years under your tires. Yeah. But you know, it's a headline and you think of the newspaper boy in the car, Dewey defeats Truman, and obviously they had to throw that paper away and come out with a new headline. But you think of a herald standing on a corner shouting because he wants to sell papers, but he's not ashamed or embarrassed. He's proclaiming to you what the headline is so that you'll buy it and he'll make his money. And that's kind of what Noah was there. I like the word herald. For me, it gives me a little better picture. Preacher, yeah, I get that. And he preached. But the herald was he wasn't ashamed of it. He was proclaiming it loudly, and he was proclaiming it for all to hear. For 120 years, he was a herald, proclaiming the gospel. Nobody came to Christ. It always makes me think of, where I wrote it down, Genesis 18. Go back to Genesis real quick. Obviously, we'll hit this later. Let me find it here. Okay. When God approaches Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah, in Genesis 18, let's see where it starts here. Verse 24, Abraham's trying to make a deal with God. He says, well, what if there's 50 righteous there? Verse 26, if I find 50 righteous, I'll spare the whole city. He goes down to 45, and verse 29 is down to 40, 30, 20, 10 by the verse 32. And God said, if I find 10 righteous in there, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't give Lot that option, but he gave them 120 years to repent, and they didn't. The only ones during that time that had faith in God because they were obeying was Noah, his three sons, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. They didn't even find 10 righteous on the earth. There wasn't even 10 people in the whole world. that had faith in God. That's why God found it corrupt. But Noah was blameless in his relationship to those around him. He was righteous in the eyes of God because of his faith. It's just so strong what the end of verse 9 there. Noah walked with God. If you think back, and we didn't spend a whole lot of time in chapter 5, but if you think back, there was a fellow in verse 24 by the name of Enoch. And it said that he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This man didn't see death because he walked with God, and God just took him to heaven off the earth. But here, and these are the only two men in the Bible. I mean, we know that there's the friend of God. We know there's a man that's after God's own heart. But there's only two men in the Bible that it says they walked with God. We have Noah, and we have his great-grandfather, Enoch. That is a family line. That is a family tree. I don't want to say to be proud of, but to be very thankful for. That in that line, in that family, were the two men in God's word that it says they walked with God. And we go back to, wouldn't that be a great thing to have on your tombstone? She walked with God. He walked with God. That is how you'd be known. So you walked with God. How sweet that is. Talking about God's patience, I'm going to give you a couple verses to write down for those that want to dig deeper. 1 Peter 3:20 talks about the patience that God had in allowing Noah to do the work and allowing Noah to proclaim and to herald the gospel. Romans 8:19 through 22 talks about that the creation is groaning because the world is so corrupt. And that's why God destroyed the earth too. Because it was diseased, it was messed up because of our sin. The creation that we were to have dominion over, that we were by God given authority over, was corrupt and destroyed, and had to be destroyed because of our sin. Creation is groaning. We must trust on the Lord. We must have faith in Him and what He has done for us. Daily we need to walk with Him. We need to walk in love. Ephesians 5:2. Ephesians 5:8, we need to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:15 says that we should be careful how we walk. And this is one of those rare times that I like the way the King James translated it better than some of the other translations say it. Because the King James says to walk circumspectly. And I like pictures. I do better with pictures than I do words. And the idea of circumspectly is, it takes me back to geometry class. And if you have when you're trying to prove angles and areas and stuff like that, is a circle. And there's the circumference. And when we are to walk circumspectly, in being careful how you walk is a good way to say it, but to walk circumspectly is you're not just, yeah, we're supposed to go forward, but you keep your eyes so that everybody from every angle, like just like Noah, they have nothing bad to say about you. But you're aware of what's going on all around you. And Noah, for 120 years, was aware of what was going on around him. And he was preaching the truth to them, hoping that they would repent and come to a faith in Jesus Christ. But we need to, as they walked with God, these are some ways that we can walk. Hear it and obey it. James, don't turn there now, just turn... turn to Jude 15. But you can write down James 1:22 to 25. It just talks. It's just talking about that knowledge isn't enough. You got to act on it. I know I haven't said this in about 2 weeks, so I'll say it again. Your talk talks and your walk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? Action, in other words, the easy way to say that is actions speak louder than words, okay? Actions speak louder than words. So how is your walk talking? How is your walk talking? James 1, 22 to 25. But in Jude 15, now I got to get there. It's a problem when it's only a page or two long. Got to hit the exact page. You just can't be close. Jude, verse 15, to execute judgment upon all, to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. Do you pick up a theme in that verse? If you're not, you weren't listening. I'll read it again for you. No, I won't. The earth, the creation, and the people living here were ungodly. Why is that? Because they purposely excluded God. There was a defiance to deliberately, a purpose to deliberately ignore God. But Noah heard, and Noah obeyed. And we're going to get more to showing you the physical parts of his obedience next week. But take my word for it. You can cheat. You can read ahead in the story. I won't. If I call it homework, you won't do it. But if I tell you, you cheat and you'll find out the rest of the story, then you'll do that. So go ahead and cheat this week, okay? Read ahead in the story and find out. But Noah heard it and was obedient because of his faith in Jesus Christ and faith in God's Son and what he did for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have the example of a godly man and his great-grandfather that walked with you. Thank you for the testimony of Enoch, and thank you for the testimony of Noah. And God, we know that we are all sinners and that we all fall short of the glory of God. But because of what Jesus Christ did for us, we have the promise of the salvation. We have promise of living eternally with you. Father, as we come to communion now, help us to confess our sins to you, to be pure with you, to be right with you, so that we don't participate in an unworthy manner. But that we are worthy not in and of ourselves, Father, but we are worthy because of what your Son did for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.